Hello, my name is Dr. Samuel Kim.
And I'm Sharon Kim.
And welcome to Research Sense for Korean American Therapy, a podcast that removes barriers and gives you a rundown of the latest Korean American mental health research. Hello, today's episode is on an exploration of racial differences of psychosocial stressors and their association with mental health between Asian and white sexual minority men, the P18 cohort study by Nguyen Tran, Thomas Le, Kristen Krause, Richard Martino, and Perry Halkaitis. And this was published in 2023. My sincerest apologies to the authors if I have mispronounced your names. So Sharon, what was the background of this study?
So the subjects of the study were sexual minority men. These are individuals who identify themselves as gay or bisexual and are attracted to or have sexual contact with people of the same gender. And research shows that sexual minority men share a higher prevalence of psychological distress and suicidal ideation. They were comparing the experiences of Asian sexual minority men to that of white sexual minority men and seeing how they differ in impact on their mental health.
This is such an interesting study and a slight departure from the papers that we have talked about thus far, in that it's not just about Korean Americans or just Asian Americans, but we're now looking at a subgroup amongst Asian Americans, and that's the paper refers to as the SMM, or the sexual minority men that are being studied within this paper, and they're part of the LGBTQ population that's out there. One other thing that I want to say is that the data for this paper comes from a large data set that was collected in 2009 and then did a follow-up in 2014. So there's one really cool aspect of it. It's longitudinal, meaning it's looking at people over time. And then these researchers took a subset of that data and looked at specifically the sexual minority men who self-identified as white and as Asian American. And one of the reasons they're doing this is because most of the research literature, I mean, not just looking at sexual minority men, but almost all psychological literature is predominantly based for those who identify as being white. And now we have a study here that's looking at a minority population within a minority group.
I was surprised to learn about these statistics around the mental health of and the well-being of our Asian American sexual minority men. For instance, a national survey of Latino and Asian Americans found that the prevalence of any psychiatric disorder in a year among sexual minority men was about 16%. In another study, found that half of the 139 participants who are Asian American and sexual minority men reported symptoms of psychological distress. And half of them had experienced anti-Asian racism. So there isn't a lot of research on Asian American sexual minority men, but the research that we do have show that this population is reporting higher symptoms of psychological distress. And therefore, we need to focus on what their experiences are. And it's important to maybe compare their experiences to that of the white sexual minority men, because the majority of research is based on the white experience.
I want to land at that statistic for a little bit, because as you said, Sharon, 16% is on the low end, and then half of the sample that was collected experienced some sort of psychological distress and have reported to have experienced some sort of anti-Asian racism. That's a lot of psychological distress, mental distress, and I'm sure that equates to some sort of physical distress as well. So within this study, they're looking at a few different dimensions, and one of them is loneliness. So loneliness defined as feelings of sadness that's due to being socially isolated, and those who experience loneliness tend to have greater levels of depression and anxiety.
Dr. Sam, if I may be honest, I was surprised that this research included loneliness as a risk factor, and they wanted to connect that and see if it had any effect on the mental health of Asian American sexual minority men. But then I thought about it, and I thought about what my friend told me, and I realized, oh, it makes a lot of sense that they are actually studying this. So one of my friends who identifies himself as Asian American sexual minority man told me how he doesn't belong in the Asian American community because he's not heterosexual. But then in the LGBTQ community, which I thought would be his place of belonging, even there, he feels like a minority. He feels racism and discrimination because of how he looks. I was shocked to learn that as a heterosexual individual, that it's so hard to find place of belonging. You're a minority within a minority within a minority, right? My heart just broke. As this research also states that Asian sexual minority men report being perceived as foreigners, even in the LGBTQ community, which isolate them even further from other sexual minority men.
I think that's an important point for you to make, because for those who identify as being a sexual minority, it stands out. That's something that I think a lot of Asian communities notice right away. It's not unusual if they meet someone who is single that they'll be introduced to someone's son or someone's daughter, or they'll say that they need to meet someone, or if they're asking if they're married or dating and such. And I can imagine that if you are part of the LGBT community, that's hard to navigate because you have to tell small lies to get out of it or navigate through it. Or maybe you want to be courageous and tell them. And then that turns into a whole nother conversation that you have to handle. I also think about within all of this, if there are Asians who also self-identify as being Christian, because the church might be a difficult place for them to enter into, as they feel like that there are some dangers in being who they are and drawing attention to themselves that they may not want. And so that disconnect that you're talking about, both within the Asian community and then within the LGBT community, that's something that's very hard to navigate. And that brings us to the second thing. So there's loneliness as well as feeling disconnected from the LGBT community. And that disconnection is also associated with depressive anxiety symptoms in the predominantly white sexual minority men sample. And most of this data was collected from the New York City area.
And you mentioned a different aspect too. Internalized homophobia is the third risk factor that the researchers looked at, which is the self-directed negative feelings they have about their sexual orientation. And Asian American sexual minority men are more likely to encounter homophobia within their Asian community. And then when they go to the gay community, they experience racism. And this all leads to greater psychological distress. Another factor that they also experience is personalized stigma, which the researchers defined as hurt feelings about other people's negative reactions towards their own sexual orientation.
Both of the internalized homophobia and the personalized stigma kind of makes me think about how society and these Asian communities are raising their children. You know, thinking about like our generation when we were growing up, I can't really remember being told stories or watching movies or TV shows that celebrated those who identify as being homosexual. They were all heterosexual relationships. And so I can see that things like this might contribute to an increase in this internalized homophobia, even amongst Asian sexual minority men. Even though they identify as being gay, they grew up with these ideas. And so it might be internalized within them.
And previous research showed that Asian sexual minority men actually experience pressure from their parents. And get this, right? Their Asian parents pressure them to assimilate to heterosexuality because the parents don't want their children to experience further racism. So not just as Asian, but also as a sexual minority within the white cultural society. I thought that was really interesting as well, that parents aren't just pressuring their children to conform to cultural values or the traditional values, but also because they want to protect their children from being seen even more as a minority.
Absolutely. And I do want to put out there for any of our listeners, it's not saying that all parents think like this and that all children are misunderstanding their parents. And I do believe that parents do want the best for their children and they're miscommunicating some of that. We don't like you the way you are. We want you to be different. And I'm sure there are families where parents have very strong views and strong stigmas against it as well. But one of the findings that they had found in other research literature is that a lot of these parents are just concerned about the level of additional discrimination that their child could experience in society. And that leads us to the last risk factor, which is this public stigma. So not only the way that we had talked about growing up in our generation, we didn't really see any celebration of the LGBT community. On top of that, I would say that I have seen messages against homosexuality growing up. In South Korea, I've seen articles where they show people protesting the LGBT community. You know, I've heard pastors talk in very anti-LGBT ways within church. And so I can imagine that there is a lot of public stigma against those who identify as being part of the LGBT community.
So the questions that the researchers wanted to answer through this study are, how are the experiences of Asian and white sexual minority men different when it comes to risk factors and mental health outcomes? And then how are the risk factors related to the mental health outcomes?
Yeah, so how was this study conducted? Well, as I said before, it came from a much larger data set in the New York City area, and it was done longitudinally, meaning they were surveyed once in 2009 and then again in 2014. The subset they pulled from this giant data set that they were looking at, 168 of the participants they pulled self-identify as being white sexual minority men. And then about 49 of them identify as being Asian sexual minority men. And the three Asian ethnic groups that comprised of this group were Chinese, Filipino, and South Korean.
51% identified themselves as exclusively homosexual, 94% were cisgender males, and then 77% at some level of college education.
The survey that they used looked at all of these different areas, including loneliness, disconnection from the LGBT community. And so questions that fall within this survey might be, you feel a bond with the LGBT community. They also looked at internalized homophobia. So a question from that survey was, sometimes I dislike myself for being gay, bisexual, or transgender. Personalized stigma, and a question from there is, I have been hurt by people reacting to learning I am gay, bisexual, or transgender. And then, of course, the last one is the public stigma. And an item from there is, most people think a person who is gay, bisexual, transgender is disgusting. And then they had several mental health measures in there that looked at anxiety, depression, as well as suicidal ideation. So I'm sure you all want to know, it's like, what did these researchers find after they gave these surveys?
So compared to white sexual minority men, Asian sexual minority men reported higher levels of experiencing loneliness, internalized homophobia, and public gay-related stigma. I want to say that was expected. I wasn't surprised. I was actually surprised that the level of the difference wasn't that much bigger. I expected it to be way bigger, given that, and this is my assumption, me being very ignorant about this field, is being a white supremacist society, maybe it's easier for white sexual minority men to find their community, but I was expecting it to be much harder for Asian sexual minority men to do the same things. And so I was expecting the difference to be much higher. But yes, there is a difference, and Asian men experience higher levels of loneliness and homophobia and stigma.
And it's not to minimize the experience of any Asian sexual minority men in any of this, but the researchers do go into talking about that the data was collected from the New York City area, which tends to have a very large and very diverse population there. So it might be easier to find people within your communities out there. Asian sexual minority men also reported higher levels of depression, suicidal ideation, whereas the white sexual minority men actually reported higher levels of anxiety. So that was interesting. So it's not all just one way, but there are some nuances to think about here. But those who reported having a lot more psychosocial stressors, so psychosocial stressors are like loneliness, disconnection, homophobia, etc., reported higher levels of anxiety, depression, and suicidal ideation. So if you don't feel like you're belonging anywhere and that you're feeling isolated and disconnected, you're going to be experiencing a lot more mental health issues.
They also found that feeling disconnected to the LGBT community was associated with higher levels of depression. They mentioned that this may indicate that Asian sexual minority men have higher levels of social isolation, right? They feel like they're more isolated and they may not have a sense of belonging either the Asian community or LGBT community, like we mentioned before.
Yeah, just like your friend. I was just thinking that your friend's experience sounds very much like what they're finding within this research study. And that's so interesting because it parallels a lot of the second generation immigrants where they don't feel fully American, but they don't feel fully Korean or Asian either. It's almost like they don't have a home culture of their own. And I think that's where that term third culture kid comes up. It's like there's their own little world that's being developed. So that's a lot of results that we have just gone over. So what are the implications of this study? What's our takeaway message for those of us who are in the mental health community or part of the Asian American community? I think the first aspect that this study reminds us of is there are people who are in the margins of our community. So even within the Korean American community or the Asian American community, there are still people within our group who are in the margins. Moreover, because of all of these social stigma and the things that are in the news, you hear these legislations that come from Florida and other parts of the country that are actively discriminating against those in the LGBT community. What is that saying to those who are within our own Asian American community, who are navigating in a very difficult and thin line of how do I be myself without being stigmatized within this community? Do I let someone know or not know? And how do I navigate all these really difficult questions that people ask me going through?
We talked about how having a strong cultural identity is important for your mental well-being. And yet if you have to throw away your racial identity because you just can't see yourself as Korean and gay, then do you have to throw away one thing? I think that's a really tough decision to make, and that would definitely put a lot of psychological distress on them. Also, one thing that the article mentioned was if you're a mental health professional and you're working with a client who identifies themselves as Asian American and sexual minority, it's important to not just force them to just be yourself, or why don't you just come out? The answer isn't that simple for our Asian Americans because it just means so much more, right? And so understanding the cultural aspect and how they still feel disconnected from the LGBT community and their Asian community is something to navigate wisely.
You bring up a really important point. One of the questions that I get frequently as a mental health professional is, I think my son or my brother or my daughter or so-and-so is a sexual minority person. And I'm often asked, what should I do? Should I talk to them about it? Should I approach them? Where I come from in this is not so much, oh, you have to find the right words or the right questions to ask this person, but develop your relationship with them. And if they feel comfortable enough with you over time, then they will open up and they will tell you. They may even come out to you, which I want to emphasize to our listeners that if someone does come out to you, it is a great honor. It means that someone has trusted you so much that they feel like they can show you this very, very scary part of themselves. Because for a lot of people who are part of the LGBT community, they're not so sure if someone is going to outright reject them, who's going to tell them they're wrong, or even threaten their lives, which are all very real things within the lives of the LGBT community, particularly amongst teenagers and kids. So I would say just build a relationship with them, become close with them, be an open and welcoming place and a safe space. I don't know anything that an ally could do better.
That's really great. That's great advice for friends and families who are listening to this and are wondering, okay, how do I become a good friend and a family member? What would your advice be as a professional to Asian American sexual minority men who are listening to this episode?
Or even the women, I guess, out there, or anyone who believes that they are part of the LGBT community. I would say that for them, coming out should be their decision. It is their decision to come out or not. No one should force them to do it. No one should be making them come out faster or slower than they want. It is really up to them to decide when is the time and how are they coming into this new identity. Other than that, I would say throughout your life experience, try to identify the safe people. There are people in your court. They may not be obvious and they may not come right to mind. You may not have met them yet, but there are safe people out there and you need to find them.
It's really great. Thank you so much for listening to our episode. This was a lot of information. I hope you found some of it helpful and I hope you will join us for next time. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed our episode, please subscribe to our podcast and check out more at mustardseedgeneration.org
and samuelykim.com. To keep these episodes coming, rate and share on wherever you listen to this podcast.